Hello, my name is Junie, and welcome to the Theta Game Podcast. I'm not a financial advisor, and nothing I say is financial advice. I'm just a normal retail trader, just like you. I'm not certified or a graduate of finance, just a trader that started on Wall Street Bets years ago. I've lost a lot of money and made all of it back and more after finding a system that worked for me. You can view all my trades for free at thetagame.com/Junie, no signup required, and email me any questions that I'll answer on the podcast at junie@thetagame.com. Lastly, I stream on Twitch every weekday at least an hour at 9 a.m. Pacific time. Come hang out, ask me questions, vent, or just chill. It's a positive environment, and everyone is welcome at twitch.tv/realthetagang. I've been using the TastyTrade trading platform since I started my ThetaGang journey 5 years ago, and it feels surreal that I've partnered with TastyTrade so I can focus on bringing you guys and girls the content. If you'd like to sign up and use TastyTrade for your trading journey, you can use my link in the show description or use the ThetaGang referral code, that's one word, all caps, when signing up. I use TastyTrade every Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific time, where I chat and trade with viewers live every morning. Go again to twitch.tv/realthetagang if you're interested, join the chatter and morning hangout. Thank you, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. How's everybody doing? Today is November 20th, 2024. It is 2:55 p.m. Pacific time. Captain's log. wait, I'm supposed to say Captain Log's first. Whatever. Today is NVIDIA Day. Let me move the mic a little bit further away. Today is NVIDIA Day. Today, NVIDIA reported earnings. NVIDIA, at the start of today's trading session, opened very flat at 147.15. And then we had some sort of like Ukraine, Russia news piece come out just about international stuff. And it was just, I guess, kind of scary. There was a lot of sell-off this morning. And by the time we headed into the bell, NVIDIA was trading just only slightly lower by the time the stock market recovered. And we headed into the bell at 145.84. And now, NVIDIA is trading right now at this minute, 143.88. So going from like 145.8 down to 143 is obviously not a big deal. It's about like a 1.3% drop. If you could even call it that. After hours volume on NVIDIA, or AKA the number of shares being traded back and forth in after hours trading for NVIDIA, is abysmal. There's literally no one trading it. And I think everyone that's wanted to buy NVIDIA stock has already bought it, and people that want to sell for either a profit or a loss are just not doing it right now. I think the market is sort of at a standstill with NVIDIA, where NVIDIA is seen as like the poster child of all AI stocks. A lot of people have eyes on crypto. I'm taking the current price action from NVIDIA as something that's more like, you know, NVIDIA has been doing so well for me this year, I'll just hold on to it and I'll just continue playing with crypto. A lot of altcoins are up. Bitcoin, recent very new all-time high. I'm pretty sure that was just made today. Let me just quickly verify that. Let me see. BTC. Was this yesterday? Or no, it was yesterday. Still very close to all-time high. Like, I'm talking about like $400 down, which is not a big deal when something's $94,000. So yeah, Bitcoin, everyone's talking about MicroStrategy, making those notes or making debt payable and purchasing Bitcoin with this like infinite money glitch. And it really does seem like the Christmas rally has sort of started, and Bitcoin is just leading it. What we're noticing right now is, you know, NVIDIA being one of the most, if not the most important company to report, trading just flat is honestly pretty good. You know, I didn't really see NVIDIA continue to go up. And for those that don't know, because I'm already just assuming that everyone has already seen NVIDIA earnings. Like, I haven't even talked about it on the podcast yet, but they beat all of their numbers. They guided up, their revenues up, income is up, data center revenues up, everything is up, yet the stock declined about 1% or 1.3% at this minute. I did personally think that Nvidia would trade either flat or slightly down. I didn't really see much of a bullish case for Nvidia to just moon. I didn't get those vibes this time around. And that's, again, just vibes. No science or anything. There just wasn't enough hype around sort of AI going into Nvidia earnings. Again, everyone's attention is just on crypto right now. And, you know, I've been paying a lot more attention to Robinhood. Nvidia has just become one of those very good cash secured puts that I've been holding. And just for reference, I took a Nvidia position into today's earnings. So I had 6 cash secured puts, one at the 138 strike and 5 of them at the 140 strike. And because I thought that, hey, it's going to trade flat or slightly down, I thought, you know, I'll just hold on to them, collect some of the volatility premium given back to me, because the day after earnings, we already know what the earnings are. It's a little bit less volatile and I get to keep that money. So I'll probably adjust either the strikes or expiration, or I might even consider taking those off the table and just continue to focus on Robinhood. Something just moving away from Nvidia, because again, I'm just assuming you've already gotten all your information about Nvidia already. Nvidia just beat all of their numbers, but they've gone down. But it's so important, I'm just going to assume that, you know, you got the tabs on that. I was shocked to find out this week that you're able to buy crypto on Robinhood and transfer it out. Like, I had thought this entire time, like, since whenever they had a crypto, one of my main criticisms about Robinhood having crypto on their platform is that you were never able to transfer it out. Therefore, it was never your crypto. But I see in the UI, you're actually allowed to transfer it out into your wallet. And if you're able to do that without paying commissions, I'm really stunned at why Coinbase even exists. And there's this, you know, there's this notion where Coinbase, you should really only be on there if you're trying to be first in line for any sort of meme style coin being launched on there first. But if you're just trying to buy a Bitcoin or Ethereum, I mean, Robinhood seems like a great option now that you're able to transfer it out. So that has completely warped my sort of opinion on Coinbase, where I thought, you know, maybe Coinbase is okay. I'd still just rather buy just like raw Bitcoin. I'd rather not invest in Coinbase, but there's just no way in hell I would invest into Coinbase right now. Can it go up because of Bitcoin going up? Yes, for sure. But I would never personally use Coinbase to purchase my Bitcoin now if I could just do it from Robinhood. It makes zero sense. So, you know, email me at junie@thetagain.com if I got it wrong, but I see it in the UI. I have my phone open right now. I'm able to transfer out to my cold wallet, which is, again, nuts. No commission, no nothing. Of course, you always have to pay exchange fees. You can never get away from that. But the fact that you're able to transfer your crypto out of Robinhood was mind-blowing to me. I cannot believe Coinbase is even remotely going up when there's a free alternative on Robinhood. Nuts. And no, I am not paid by Robinhood to say this. If you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you'll already know that I usually hold a very optimistic tone for the market. I've just always generally thought the market should go up, and it has, and I don't honestly think that's even a unique take. I think where my sort of optimism starts to really shine differently than everybody else is when the market feels very scary, very turbulent, war news coming out, big catastrophes or disasters or diseases. I'll always just assume that the market wants to go up. And that's primarily because a lot of people benefit from the market going up. So if I benefit from the market going up, and well, my parents do and my friends do and well, everybody does, I think a lot of people will vote or do things to also make the market keep going up. So it really pays off if you can just find your North Star in determining what will make you keep investing or trading, getting your money in there and working for you. There have been plenty of people saying that, oh, this price is critical. This is the support we need to bounce off of. This is the most important part of this cycle. There's just tons of stuff has been pushed out by people that are trying to get your attention. And the more that you pay these people your attention, the more you buy into their idea. Because as you watch something or if you listen to something, you sort of inherently agree with whatever is being said. Otherwise, you know, you disagree too often, you kind of just stop listening. So I think a lot of people that do listen to this podcast, I'm not trying to necessarily convince that the market is going to go up, because I think a lot of you align with how I think. And whether if you thought that originally and you're just like, oh, Junie also thinks this way, or maybe I changed your mind and you're like, wow, I do see the benefit of like continuing to invest even though it might be scary. It's just ultra important that you sort of just tailor your, I don't know, your community or the context that you're in for when the market gets a little shaky. Right now is not shaky. I think that's what I want to leave off today's episode with, just keeping it fairly short because my voice isn't actually feeling that good today. But just reminding people where we are at, okay? I am not a fancy finance person. I'm not famous. I don't have like a huge following, but I have been doing really well. And the fact that I have been doing really well as just someone that is a normal person, okay? I am just a regular trader. And in fact, I'm self-employed. I don't even have a 9-to-5 right now, okay? Like, I'm just a normal person. The fact that if I can do well in this market, it means that you can too. And the stuff that works for me, more or less, if taken in the right amounts, should work for you too. Something that's been really, really working for me lately is just remembering we had so much uncertainty, okay? So much of it. We were so uncertain leading up to the election. People were taking risk off. We don't know who the candidate is. We had FOMC meeting. We don't know if interest rates will be for sure cut. We don't know about the inflation report. We don't know what's going to happen with like China tariffs. We still don't know what's going to happen with China and tariffs and all that stuff. But my point is, we know so much more than we did just like even just a month ago. We should be more certain than anything or any time than right now. Right now is the time where we have the most amount of information. We know who our president is, or you know who will be in office. We know the dominating party for the government, which you know aligns with stocks. We know that Bitcoin is at all-time high. We know that all-time highs are usually broken back-to-back because all it takes is one more penny higher than the previous day if we end at an all-time high. Trend is your friend. All stocks are up. Crypto is up. We know that inflation is under control. And we know that we are in an interest rate cutting cycle. We have all of these new pieces of information that align with a bull market. And I see a lot of people trying to justify, you know, doing one trade or the other, you know, taking risk off and doing this. And that's cool because, again, everyone has their own system. But this isn't the time where you should be waiting. You should be wanting to be wrong. Being wrong, doing the right thing comes to mind, you know. I've said, you know, maybe I haven't said it in a while, but bullish until proven guilty is definitely in the forefront of my mind. That is definitely something I've been like saying to myself as I'm executing my trades. And I think really right now, it just, We feel it. You see it. You see people making massive amounts of money. And to you, you might feel some type of way about it. You know, that person that hasn't traded in a while comes out of nowhere and says, oh, you know, I bought a MicroStrategy calls for fun and look at me make 10K. And then somehow you become like a little bitter. You're like, oh, man, I know that this market is frothy because my friend that never wins won. You know, and I'm just going to wait until, you know, this, it comes back down, then I'll get in because they don't know any better. Or you start making these comparisons to other people of like, because you're just sitting there with all of your new knowledge, right? You're the one that is putting so much time and effort into the stock market, but you're seeing other people that don't have as much experience make tons of money. Of course, you're going to feel some type of way because it feels like it's unfair. And at times, it might actually just be straight up unfair, but you have to do something about it. And I think a lot of it is your ego holding you back. You don't want to chase with what has already won and then lose in front of the person that has already won, right? That person that bought MicroStrategy calls or bought Bitcoin that is already up, you're afraid of buying Bitcoin because you don't want to lose money on Bitcoin while they've already made so much they have buffer. You don't want to be someone else's buffer, and that's why you stay out. But we see the trouble, or the dangers rather, of staying idle, right? Like, this year has been nuts. How much is SPY up this year? SPY is up 24.93%. That is crazy. That is insane. Like, imagine like not investing into the stock market. That is some people do that. Like, you don't necessarily even have to imagine it. Like, a lot of your partners, like, you know, I'm talking to the boys of the podcast. A lot of your partners that are females, man, they don't invest. They don't do that. If you're a female that invests, you know, I'm talking about the majority. You're definitely a rare gem, I guess. But yeah, a lot of people don't invest, especially girls. And so it's like, I just don't know that I feel like this wealth gap is increasing day by day. As like, I click on 1 year and not year to day. I click on 1 year. We're up 29.99%. in the last 365 days for SPY. Crazy. So that's that. Like, I know that I can give off the cautiously optimistic / bullish outlook, and I don't feel necessarily that I have to convince anyone, because you guys have listened to me and my tone for all this time. But what I think I can change people's minds on, you know, you listening right now, is that I feel like a good handful of you are have chosen, like, this is past tense. Maybe today you were just like, finally, like, okay, you know what, I'm going to go in. But I feel like a good handful of you have opted to just wait for the market to come down. Tomorrow could be the biggest crash of all time. Next week could be the biggest crash of all time. But being wrong, doing the right thing, sounds like a very good risk reward, because just put in some amount of money that is not going to ruin your life if, you know, the stocks go down, and just stick with SPY, stick with QQQ. These are very simple things that can just like help you sort of secure your future. And, you know, being self-employed, I kind of get the whole like, oh, why are we saving money? We're only young once, you know, spend it and have fun with it. You know, that thought has crossed my mind millions of times, okay, as I'm struggling to save for retirement because I make so little compared to when I worked a 9-to-5. But I can be a good advocate and champion for investing responsibly. I think a lot of people just get a little scared because it's just gone up so high. And I feel like that's what a lot of what NVIDIA's price action was today. There's no real rhyme or reason why it went down. I mean, besides the fact that it's just an earnings play, and earnings are very binary and they make never any sense. But yeah, top line grew, data center growth, year over year, just amazing numbers. They even raised their outlook. You know, they beat or not beat, but they raised their expected sort of numbers for next quarter and beyond, greater than analysts were even expecting, and it still went down. Because usually profits beating EPS and revenue is one thing, but like guidance being bad can send the stock going down. But this, in this case, literally everything was up. Guidance was up. The numbers were great. Futures numbers are going to look good. And the stock went down. And I think a lot of it is just people being scared. And it's okay. You want to take some profit, that's fine. Warren Buffett, for the first time, I think what the headline was, in 6 years or six quarters, I don't know what it was, but like in six something, for the first time has not bought in shares back of Berkshire Hathaway stock. I saw some comments and replies on Reddit talking about, oh, you know, if he's doing that, I'm not going to do it. And honestly, I played golf with my friend the other day. His name is Caleb. And he was talking to me, and it reminded me of that Reddit comment talking about how, oh, if Warren Buffett's not buying, I'm not buying. This is the last sort of subtopic of today's episode, and this is what I'm going to leave you with. Warren Buffett has more money than you will ever have in your entire life. Like, straight up. Like, this isn't like some manifestation, like negative manifestation type of thing. Like, it's just reasonable to assume that. Okay, like, I hope you're a millionaire one day, but you're not even close to Warren Buffett, even at a millionaire. Okay, even a billionaire, you're not close to Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett has a lot of money. And the fact that when he sits still, he does absolutely nothing and just puts his money into bonds, his return on his bonds one time is enough to beat you and me combined, okay? Warren Buffett doesn't have to do anything. So if you mimic Warren Buffett doing nothing, I don't know what grandiose ego you got, but you're not Warren Buffett, brother, okay? So I'm going to need you to put some, like a dollar or two into SPY and relax, because you're not Warren Buffett. You're not trading like Warren Buffett. And any sort of, you know, discount that you're trying to get on the market is in nowhere close to the scale that Warren Buffett is at. And I hope I am jinxing the market right now by talking all this poop on how you think that you're Warren Buffett and you're going to follow Warren Buffett's trading patterns because you think that you've somehow had the same amount of equity as the guy. So just, I mean, that's just my opinion, man. Like, I find it so strange that people want to mimic Warren Buffett's trading patterns because the man sits still. He makes our lifetime's net worth worth of money in like a quarter, okay? So it's just a weird comparison, people thinking that they're Warren Buffett and want to mimic it. The discount that you'll possibly get from a crash that could potentially come, I don't think is worth it. And that's where opinions can start to differ, right? Like, you think a crash is coming. I think a crash is coming, but like, I feel like the chance of missing out on this next rally is worth, you know, investing, even if I think a crash is coming, whereas you would rather just get a discount. You don't care about actually gaining any money. You care about the discount more than the gains. And I think that's a losing mentality, or at least like a, oh, I'm good. You know, I don't need to keep up with the McDonald's hash brown. I'm good. You know, I'm fine with affording one hash brown instead of 10 like I'm supposed to, you know, as inflation comes around. And, you know, there's just so many different ways to look at it. And you can definitely tell that I'm biased in one direction. And I really feel it because, man, I have been trying to jinx the market go down so many times. And I feel like, oh man, if we just get one more reset, I am good. Like, we are going full port into whatever dip or crash is coming in. Because at this point right now, I mean, I don't have much income coming in. So whatever bets I make have to have a lot of impact. I can't buy shares and just chill out. That's not a very good use of capital. And it does leave me exposed a lot of time, as I'm not as flexible as if I were to just like sling or slaying contracts like calls and puts, or cash secured puts and covered calls. So I'm active. I feel like I'm very proactive instead of reactive, just because I have a lot more time looking at the market too. But yeah, again, just I'm one person, one opinion. I personally don't look at other people's opinions than people that I trust. Like, for example, I trust the people in my Discord more than any YouTuber, any blogger, anything outside of the Discord. I don't necessarily trust, because, well, like, how am I going to listen to someone that has this like paragraphs long due diligence, and I don't even know their trading history? I don't know how they particularly trade. I don't know how often they are correct. I don't know how they risk manage a losing trade, because not every DD is going to win. I need to know how you manage these scenarios, because I can write 10 articles of why NVIDIA might go up or down, and I just wait for NVIDIA to go up, and I delete all my posts about NVIDIA going down. It's so easy to do that, and I think that has really help me stay grounded, because I think a lot of my optimism that I'm able to keep comes from the sort of culture I build up in the Discord. I don't like it when people doom and gloom. Not that you have to be hyper bullish all the time, but I think your community matters a lot when you make these very impactful decisions of choosing to invest or stay idle, you know? So if you'd like to join the community, there's spots open always, all the time, at patreon.com/TheAdaGang. If there's not a seat open, just wait for one to open. But if you see one there, yeah, feel free to snag it. And I'll just see everybody next week for next week's episode. I will be with my parents, so my voice is going to sound different. The echo reverb might sound a little different because I'll be on a different microphone on a different computer. But the show goes on. I'll see everybody next week. Bye-bye. From what just started out as just an idea, then learning how to trade options, then building a logging platform, then partnering with TazyTrade is so surreal to me. If you'd like to trade on TazyTrade, you can see the show description from my referral link, or use ThetaGang referral code, one word, all caps, when signing up to help me and support the website, podcast, and stream. This podcast, the website, and stream are all made possible because of my patrons at patreon.com/ThetaGang. Signing up helps keep the services up and alive, as well as pay my own personal bills. I do the podcast, website, and stream full-time as my primary source of income. I feel grateful to be able to do this full-time and focus on providing the best service possible for free. The podcast, website, and stream are all free, and it'll stay that way. Signing up for Patreon gives you a few perks, though, so check it out again at patreon.com/ThetaGang if you're interested in helping support. All right, a huge shout out to Fancy Wolf, Los Pepes, Upstream Puddle, NSYS88, Jimmy Gill, Espresso Bean, Joe Quirt, EDC, Travella, Desserts, Nala, J Perkins86, Ben Z, T Wall 3252, LPL, Alexander Kerm, Slow Motion, Rusty RSD, Catsy, The Jester, Turfed, Gruffalo, Young Rich, John Din, Chicken Dinner, Kaput, Kamikaze Paco, Coop, Sumatrix, Statistically Random, Turbo Ricky, Luca Badur, Maestro XC, Benadushi, Theta Collector, Tyler LM97, Lord Skeletor, Major, Tecomi Elmo, Averillion, RS Schmitty, Y-Teen, Danube 9000, McFly, Husk P, Mr. Integrity, Rooster, Big Dillo, Ginger Minaru, Loido, Bearded Savage, Danghai Clutch, Suede Slides, Arfman, Amendment, MX7, Vegeta Plank, Can't Make Money, RRL, Handy, and Maltman 1856. Pretty good episode today. I mean, I was golfing with Caleb, and then he was talking about, thinking about getting out of the stock market, and we had just gone back and forth because, you know, he asked me for, you know, a lot of questions about the stock market because he doesn't necessarily trust a lot of people talking about it, which I feel honored for, by the way, because I think a lot of people trust me with the stock market stuff because they know that I give such like a neutral opinion, neutral-esque. You know, I could be bullish, but I'm not telling you to buy like calls on SPY because, you know, we're just gonna go up. I don't make those sort of calls, but I'll keep an eye out for you. You know, I'll like ask you like how your portfolio is doing or if they got questions about their losing like AMD position. Like I get hit up by a good number of people asking me for help, and I feel really honored about that. I've talked about this before, and for people that have been asked for help for a majority of their life, maybe you hold a position that is more of like a teaching position, or you're a supervisor or a trainer or something, like you're kind of already used to it, you know. But for someone, you know, that isn't asked these questions too frequently, it should really be taken as like an honor almost, because when someone's asking you for help or clarity, it's like it's honestly them being a little vulnerable, right? It's like saying like, hey, I don't know this, but I trust you, I want to ask you this. And you know, maybe it's like me maturing or just, I don't know, having more time to think about this stuff, but that's sort of how I've been thinking about when I help people answer questions. Is like, I'm honored that people ask me very, especially like finance related stuff from IRL friends. Like, right, like I've gotten to a point where I just straight up ask like, how much do you make? How much do you have in your checking? How much debt do you have? Like, and they're all always so open and telling me these things, and I just feel so honored that, you know, I can sort of just be trusted with them. They're asking me on how to make these like really high impact decisions. Of course, it's not like night and day impact, but it's like more like, oh, you know, you start today, it'll snowball, and talk about like IRA, HSA, right times to contribute, all that sort of boring stuff. It just feels good. So if you're in a position where people are asking you for tips on how to grow plants, like, oh, like what fertilizer do you use? And you know, like, oh, I see your plants are doing so awesome, I wish mine would look like that, do you have any tips? Like, you should feel really good when people ask that sort of stuff, because that's a great indicator that you're like doing something that can positively impact the world, when you're motivating someone to also pick up a new hobby or do something similar. And I had this moment with my fiance the other month. It could have been maybe like even 2 months ago. And she would talk to me and be like, oh man, you know, I go to kickboxing and I don't feel like I'm really improving, but I'm still having a great workout. I just don't know if I'm improving or anything. And, you know, because we go to the same gym, I go to an MMA gym, I go to the jiu-jitsu side, and she goes to the kickboxing side. And I'll like see her, and then she's like helping, you know, you pair up with someone typically when you do these drills, and she'll oftentimes she'll be paired up with like someone new, and she'll be like helping them on how to throw a jab or counter a hook or like hold up the knee pad or how to take like a TP kick or something. And I'll be like, well, you know, coach isn't just having you work with the new person because you're both new. He's giving you that sort of position of a superior position, so that someone can learn from you, like a coach, not like a coach, but like putting you in a spot where you can help better the new people. Okay, I'm at a loss for words right now, but I know you guys that are driving right now are like, oh, it's this word. But yeah, so I told her that it's like, you don't ask a brand new person to help a brand new person. And the fact that you're being asked to help, a newer person is just a huge sense of growth, because it's not only that you are teaching them, but even the coach trusts you that you will teach them, correctly, or maybe you have a good attitude about it to help them be motivated to come back. There's like so many different angles at why you pair up different sort of skill levels. But I told her that, and she was like, you know what, you're right. You know, like, you know, on my first day, I barely knew how to throw a punch, but now I know how to throw a punch enough to teach someone else. And that in itself is like a huge honor, right? So, yeah, I mean, we just don't think about these things a lot of time. And you know me, I'm self-employed, so I have plenty of time to think about this sort of stuff. Yeah, just staying grateful. I've been doing a lot of Bible study recently, primarily because I had a good streak of like a few months of doing Bible study, and then somehow, some way, in like maybe the last like 3 months, I sort of like stopped. I think what happened? I don't know. I think I just got like too busy with this new dating site, but I mean, too busy is also relative. But anyway, been reprioritizing again because I'm Catholic, and so I have to get married in a Catholic church, and you have to do these like Catholic things, and you have to do these like classes on how to be married. Okay, I know that sounds preposterous to a lot of people that are already married, but when you're Catholic, you have to do Catholic things. Okay, don't be mad at me. Okay, don't. I swear, I'm still the same person. Okay, it's weird bringing up you. I feel like you could talk about, you know, intercourse and be half naked on the internet, but someone brings up religion and we're like, oh God, no, you know. But yeah, been doing that marriage class with the fiance, and so that's inspired me to pick up the Bible study thing again in the morning, and it's like the primary reason why I wake up. I was telling my friend that I started waking up at like 6:30, and he's like, oh, is that for the market? I'm like, oh, that is the time when the market opens, because I really don't look at the market until maybe at least 7:30. Like when I first wake up, I'm making a coffee and I'm doing like a little bit of Bible study or something, or like watering the plants. I'm doing something to get my mind going that isn't straight into like the dopamine Skinner box that the stock market is. But yeah, so I've been doing that. What else? I'm like looking around my apartment. I'm excited to visit my parents. I'm seeing my friend. His name is Zach. Super, super cool guy. I have not seen him in years, so I'm very excited to talk to him. I want to just talk to him about life, because he moved really far away from us, and I feel like honestly he's made a lot of new friends, and I feel like, you know, we're no longer like his closest friends no more, and that's okay. That's fine. My feelings aren't hurt too much. But I'd love to just talk to him about that. Also, like, one of my best friends, her name is Leslie. She's not able to make it. We all meet in a city called Monterey. It's a beautiful city. It's like kind of, it's really close to where we grew up, but like that's where I'm from. I just say that I'm from Monterey. And then we're supposed to all meet up, but she's not able to make it down, so I'm like planning this like surprise trip where we gather the boy, because she's the only girl in the guy group, and I get the jokes, okay, but like we're all planning to surprise her. We're gonna all gang up in a car and then drive up and then surprise her, and then we're probably gonna eat some food and drive all the way back. It's gonna be like a 3-hour trip, I think. So that would be fun. Just really prioritizing on hanging out with people, man. I feel like this is the first time that I'll be home. My parents are in good health. I'm gonna see honestly all of my friends, and I haven't had this happen since I think the last Bitcoin rally. I'm talking not COVID, but before that, in 2017. Because that's one of that trip home for that Thanksgiving when Bitcoin first hit that skyrocket level was like, man, everybody came back from college, everyone, or not from, well, yeah, from college and from like first year post college, everyone got their new jobs. Everyone's in Bitcoin, everyone's in altcoins, everyone's buying shots for each other. Dude, it was crazy. It was so fun. So much fun. Everyone was back. We were like, oh, dude, I haven't seen you since elementary school. How you been? Where you? Oh, man. Like, I am just remembering all these things. But, yeah, I hope that there's some element to that this time around. I'm hoping that there are a few people that, you know, go bar hopping in that area during Thanksgiving time. And, yeah, I just want to have a good time. And I'm confident that I will have it. Hope that you are also having or hoping to have a good time in Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is soon. You know, the show goes on. To be honest, I think I'm not going to be streaming on holidays no more. I think the friction in the morning is just too high. I think this Thanksgiving, this time around, it would be just much easier for me to go to my grandma's house in the morning instead of like the afternoon. So probably no stream on Thanksgiving Day. But you should be enjoying Thanksgiving yourself anyway. Let's see. Nope, that's it. This was a bit of a longer 1% section because I feel like I haven't gotten a chance to like really just like talk in this section in a while. But yeah, just everything's good. I'm good. Grateful I got two arms and two legs. Grateful that I have a loving fiance. Grateful that my parents are both as healthy as they could be. I am grateful to have a community of people that I enjoy doing one of my favorite hobbies with, and that is trading. I'm honestly also grateful for the community that I do jiu-jitsu with. I honestly look forward to jiu-jitsu every time I go. I don't think I'm like ever in a bad mood when I do go to jiu-jitsu because I just like leave all my stress on the mat. It's great. I'm grateful for the people that have listened to me since the beginning, right? Like, and you guys know who you are, okay? If you were just like, you're welcome, like, yeah, thank you. Just saying it again, thank you for listening to me there for that long. If you're like newer, you know, you'll learn that like, I just try to be as grateful as I can, as often as I can. And this ain't no, this isn't, like, what reason do I got to lie about being grateful for things on a podcast that doesn't have that many listens, you know? Like, let's be real, okay? I don't got many reasons to lie about being grateful. And I hope it can rub off on you. If you're, like, someone that has struggled to find great things or good things going on in your life, like, man. Like, I get sad sometimes, too. I'm not going to pretend like my life is all happy, sunshine, and rainbows. But I'm usually very grateful for things, okay? Like, that has been very constant. If you go to x.com, shout out to Rip in Peace Twitter, or Rest in Peace Twitter, my pinned post from the very first time I've ever pinned a post, or aka a tweet, is of me. I'm going to end off with this, man. This is it. This is how I prove I've been about this right here. Boom. Profile. Boom. Right here. July 3rd, 2020. Because I had made this account in like 2019. June 2019. My pinned tweet. That is the first thing that you see. I mean, besides my bio. But the first thing that you see in my tweets on X or on Twitter is, I'll never share or retweet profit gains that my patrons share with me, but these are different gains. You should always feel like you belong somewhere, no matter what stage you are in life. You are never alone, though sometimes it feels like it. I get sad often, but I'm grateful always. And this was me sharing a screenshot of an email that says, hey Junie, just wanted to thank you. You've changed my life in a way you wouldn't even understand. Past couple years have been some dark times. Dating has helped tremendously just by being part of something so positive. I appreciate every comment and second you put into it. I wish you peace, love, and positivity. Thank you. So, I mean, that's what it's been about the entire time. I mean, you can't imagine me doom and glooming something and being a positive person. It just kind of goes hand in hand. When you just try to be more grateful for things, or you start to see things in a from a different perspective, it can really help. And a lot of that does stem from the community that you're with, because you can imagine it's hard to be positive around very negative people. I hope you guys keep tuning in, and that know that I'm very grateful for all of you. I'll have probably a Thanksgiving podcast where I'll say what I'm thankful for and all that great stuff. But for now, yeah, I'll see everyone next week. And just have a great weekend, and yeah, see everybody next week. Bye-bye.